Turn back to Luke chapter 19. Now back in Luke chapter 18, we have, beginning in verse 35, we have an encounter of our Lord coming to this community called Jericho. All the old writers say this was a very large community. It was some distance from Jerusalem, 20 miles or so. And there were many people in it, many thousand people in it. It was a large community. And our Lord was approaching this place called Jericho. And there was a beggar there. His name was Bartimaeus. He was dirty. He had no way of supporting himself other than to beg alms for the poor. And he sat there daily at the entrance into the gate of this large city called Jericho. He sat there in all his filth, in all his darkness, didn't know what was going on around him, ignorant of his surroundings, of everything going on. What a picture of us. What a picture of fallen man. What a picture of us all in our natural state. And there he sat begging. And there was quite a crowd surrounded our Lord. You remember, he's in the midst of his public ministry. And everywhere our Lord went, he healed the blind and he raised the sick. And he gave strength to those who were lame and halt and withered. And you can just imagine. You can just imagine the people that clamored to our Lord, that had loved ones and had members of their family and neighbors and friends who were sick. You see these phonies, these obnoxious and odious men on television that they're in these services, and they have a whole host of very ill people, crippled people, wheelchairs, and they always show those people. And then they have some phony to come up on stage and they do some ridiculous shenanigans, you know, and this person does cartwheels off the stage, you know, and those type of phony things. I'm telling you today, go down here at this hospice center. You go down here at this hospice center, and they called the family in, and all the family members are there weeping, and this loved one is not going to survive through the night. And someone go into that place and lay a hand on that one or pray for that one. And miraculously, that person is made healthy and young and vital. That's someone that you'd follow. That's someone that you would, can you do that for my loved one? Well, that's who's here. That's the Lord Himself. This is the Lord Himself that's here. And this filthy beggar, he cries out. He hears the commotion. And they say, it's Jesus of Nazareth that's passing by. This man knew something. And he said, have mercy on me, thou son of David. That promised one that's going to come. That one that the Old Testament talks about that's coming. He identifies who he is. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Brother Mike said, we was sitting here before the service, and he was reading there, and he said, and Jesus stood still. And he said, every time he stands still, something good happened. Something good happened. And Jesus stood still. And he said, bring that man. That filthy beggar, you bring that man, you bring him to me. And he healed that man. He healed that man. What an amazing picture of us in our filth, in our inability to do anything. What a picture of us. And yet he passed by. And he said, you bring that man. You bring him, that particular man, of all those people that's in that crowd, you bring him to me. And he healed that man, gave that man sight. And that man rejoiced. That man rejoiced. Don't we rejoice today for what our Lord's done for us? And he entered into that large city, Jericho. Now I try to get a picture in my mind of what's going on here. This filthy beggar, there he sat. He probably stunk. He probably was awful to be around. And yet he cried out for mercy, and the Lord saved that man. Gave mercy to that man. All this crowd of people. And our Lord enters into this large city, Jericho. Boy, this is going to be a place to set up a tent meeting. You know, this is going to be a place to have a crusade. You know, we'll get all the dignitaries of town, all the prominent people, and they'll pass out leaflets, and we'll have a big meeting here in this place. I mean, we can gather in a crowd every night. And look at this in verse 1. Jesus entered. He entered into Jericho. You see that? And he passed through Jericho. What? There's no sinners in this place. There's no filthy people in this place. There's no people in need in this place. He passed through this place. There's no evidence that he did any miracle, that he raised anybody from a sick bed, that he gave sight to any other blind people, that he gave anybody that was crippled the ability to walk. He didn't reveal himself in a spiritual sense. He didn't reveal himself to be God Almighty in human flesh to anybody in this place. He entered and he passed right on through. He passed right on through Jericho. You see that? He passed through Jericho. He passed through it. Look here in verse 2. And behold, anytime you see that in Scripture, anytime you see that word, behold, you pay close attention because something big's happening. This is a word to get our attention. Behold, there was a man. There was a man in that town. His name was Zacchaeus. And he was chief among the publicans. Well, what is that a description of? What are we saying here about this man, Zacchaeus? We know his name. His name's Zacchaeus. And we know what he does. He's a publican. No, he's chief among the publicans. Now, the nation of Israel at this time was under an occupying force, a foreign country. Another nation had come in and taken over the leadership of that country. They had put those people under the boot of the Roman Empire. They had set up people and put people in places of authority and places of leadership. They allowed the Jews, they allowed that nation to have some ability to govern themselves in certain matters. But the decisions were made by a foreign country. And while they were there, occupying this nation of Israel, they levied heavy taxes on these people, like armies have always done throughout the history of the world, to pay for their other conquests, and pay for their army, and pay for the occupation. And they laid heavy taxes on these people. Now, here's this man named Zacchaeus. This is what we know about him. He went to these people, and he said, "Hey, I know these people. I know this one and this one, that one. I know what they're worth. I know where their property is. I know what they hold and where their money's salted away. I know who their children are. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of getting them taxes from these people. And I'll know if they're hiding out. I'll know if they're squirreling their money away somewhere. I'll know how to get a hold of their money for you." This was the most awful of all the people there in that place. And he was chief among the publicans. He was the head man. These other publicans would bring their money to him. And old Zacchaeus would give the part of it to the Roman government, and then he would keep part of it. And it says here in the latter part of verse 2, he was very rich. This was a very rich man. Now, our Lord has done these things. The fame of him has spread throughout everywhere. And our Lord does this miracle outside of this place called Jericho. Everybody knew who Bartimaeus was. He'd been there always. You go in and out of the city. There he sits every day. Sits there covered up in his blanket, begging for alms. And the Lord healed that man. And that word spread throughout that place. Now our Lord passes through, and now he's leaving Jericho. And this filthy, awful person, this despicable person named Zacchaeus, he hears about him. Now he's not curious to go to the Lord and sue for mercy. He's not serious about going to the Lord and repenting for what he is. He's just curious. He's heard about this man. He wants to see who he is. He wants to see what he looks like. He wants to see what this famous person is. And verse 3, old Zacchaeus, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Here's this. Now remember, this was a crowd of people. There's many people following our Lord. You can just imagine. People that's got sick folks at home, that's got a wife or a husband that's sick, that's got a child that's dying. And here this man is that has this gift, has this ability, has this power from God to be able to do these things. And these people are clamoring after the Lord. "Will you come and go with me? I have a child that's sick. My husband is dying. Will you come and go with me?" And this crowd of people. Now here Zacchaeus is, this awful man. And he wants to see this man. And he goes there, and you can just imagine, here he comes. And he's probably Lucy size there. He's probably 4'11", you know. He's maybe 5 foot at the most. You know, his dad was a tall fellow, but his mother was a little short woman, and he took after his mother's side of the family, and he wasn't like King Saul. He was a little fella, and here he is in that crowd of big folks, like some of you folks. Like if I was loafing around with Scott Thompson and a bunch of fellas his size, you know, I couldn't see nothing either. It's like Jackie sitting over behind Dan Morgan. She can't see anything. She's lucky if she can see the floor in front of her, you know. And is this what this fella is? He's a little fella. And there he stands in that crowd. And he can't see nothing. And so he... And I've often thought about this. Whatever the Lord, whatever He makes us, whatever station He makes us in this life, if this fellow was Scott Thompson size, this fellow would have been right there in that crowd. He'd have been right there in that crowd, and he'd have looked and he'd have said, I don't see anything special about that fellow. He doesn't look like any other fellow. That's what Isaiah 53 says. He had no form or comeliness that we should desire. He just looked like everybody else. He wasn't fancy dressed. He wasn't riding a chariot. He didn't have gold rings on every finger. He just looked like every other common fellow, you know. And if Zacchaeus would have been 6'3", he'd have went on home. But he couldn't see him. And his curiosity got the best of him. And he looked down that long, dusty road. You know, we'd already left the paved streets and the sidewalk. And we're leaving town now, and there's nothing but gravel or dust down through there. But there's the way that this man, Jesus, is going to leave. And Zacchaeus said, if I'm going to see him, I'm going to have to run down there and get somewhere where I can see him, where all these tall people is not going to obstruct my view of him. He could not see Jesus, who he was. Verse 3, he could not for the press because he was of little stature. Now, look here, it gets better all the time. Verse 4, and old Zacchaeus, he ran down that road before. Can't you just see him scurrying down through there? Just running, and little old short legs, just hard as they can run, you know. Down there. How high do you reckon that first limb was in that tree? It don't matter. He somehow shimmied up that tree, you know. He got something and leaned up against that tree or a box or something. He got up in that tree because this is the only place he's going to be able to see this Jesus of Nazareth. And he ran before. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Can't you just see him sitting up there? Can't you see him sitting up there on the limb, huddled up, holding on, you know, just waiting there, and he can look way down there, and here they come, you know, here comes this crowd of people. And I'm going to get to see this man. I'm going to get to see him, the latter part of verse 4. For he was to pass that way. That particular way. Who's going to pass that way? The Lord God Almighty is going to pass that way. He's going to pass that way. He healed this man named Bartimaeus. And he entered into this large city and didn't do anything. Didn't do anything for anybody. And now he's leaving. And he's going to pass by that way. That determined way. That particular way. How many ways was there out of town? I have no idea. But I know one thing. I know one thing for sure, that the Lord Jesus Christ knew that man that was going to be in that tree at that particular time on this exact day. And I know this much, that the Lord Himself was going to show mercy to that man. Do you believe that? Amen. With all our hearts, we believe that. And if He don't pass that way and do something to that man's going to die in his sins and going to face God in judgment just the way he is. A rebel, a sinner, filthy, dirty, undone. But he climbed up in that tree and the Lord was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came, you see them next two words? The next three words? To the place. To the place. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? He came to that place. Now, I like to get this image, you know. Here this crowd is. There's 400 people, just whatever. And they're surrounding our Lord. And our Lord's hard for Him to take a step because of the people. And they're all clamoring for Him to do something and wanting to go home with them and wanting to do something for their sick loved one or whatever. And here He is going down this road. And He's leaving town. And He comes to the place. And He stops. At the place. This particular place. This place that He knew from all eternity. May have been the only reason that this tree was there for this fellow to be up in it. Well, we sometimes we see things happening all around us, you know, and we scratch our head. We just don't know. We don't know why these things happen. We don't know why we're put in these positions. We don't know all the things concerned about this. But we know one thing, that our Lord is sovereign over all things in providence. All things that happen. All events, all advents, He's sovereign. And He's sovereign over that man being in that tree at this particular time. And our Lord comes down this road. He comes to this place and He stops. I just kind of think that a hush fell over the crowd. I just kind of think that the people thought, he's going to heal another blind person. Maybe He's going to give ability to walk to somebody here that's crippled. And here's these parents carrying this child that has never took a step in his life. And maybe it is that He's going to speak to that child and that child's going to be able to run down this dusty road. I think a hush fell over that crowd. And our Lord just stood there. And look at this. He looked up. Any doubt Zacchaeus is not going to be there? Any doubt that somebody may have waylaid Zacchaeus on the way down, running ahead of that crowd and drug him in the alley? He's a rich man. May have drug him in the alley, knocked him in the head, you know, and stolen everything he had. Any chance? Any possibility? No possibility. He had to be there. He had to be there at this day, at this time, in that particular place, because our Lord's going to pass by. And He's going to pass by in mercy and grace to this awful, awful man. He passed by that way. You remember back in the Old Testament. Now, if this event had happened and there had been no other event recorded in the Scriptures, then you would probably not want to place a whole teaching, you know, a whole teaching on a single event that happened in the Word of God. But this is played out over and over and over and over and over again. Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And Adam took of that fruit. And the Lord, he heard the voice of the Lord in the cool of the evening, walking in the garden. And Adam ran and hid. And him and Eve had sewed those fig leaf aprons, you know, to cover their nakedness. Because now their eyes were open. And they knew shame, they knew guilt, they knew anger in their heart. And they fled from the Lord. And the Lord went to where they were. And He said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? We can jump forward in the Old Testament. Abraham. Where was Abraham? Abraham was down in this place called Ur of the Chaldees. This was a pagan place. Everybody worshipped idols, like Brother Eric talked about in his lesson this morning from Acts chapter 17. All these statues, all these gods, all these idols. Abraham was right in the middle of all that. Abraham didn't go finding God. Abraham didn't go seek the Lord. The Lord came to him. And He spoke to him. And He said, Abraham, leave this place. Go to a place I'm going to show you. And He gave him faith. Abraham believed God. And he followed. We go a little further. Moses. Moses down there in the land of Egypt. Been down there 40 years, you know, raised in all the luxury of being heir to the throne, you know. When he was 40 years old, he went out and he saw that abuse that was given to his natural brethren, those Israelites. And he interceded for one. And that was known, and he had to flee. And he went to the backside of the desert, went over there in Midian, to the backside of the desert. And there he was over there, tending his father-in-law, Hobab's sheep, you know. And there he was over there. He was no evidence he was seeking the Lord. And he was out there one day tending them sheep. And the Lord came where he was. And he appeared up there on the side of a mountain in a burning bush. Moses said, I'm going to turn aside and see this thing. And he went up there, and the Lord spoke to him. Moses, take off your shoes from off your feet. This place is holy ground. And he sent him down there to deliver his people. Sent him down there to deliver his people. Our Lord, when he entered his public ministry, after he had been baptized by John the Baptist, the next day, there in John chapter 1, and beginning in verse 43, Philip ran and told his Nathanael. He told him, come and see the Lord. Come and see the Savior. And Nathanael came, and the Lord seen him coming. Nathanael had never seen the Lord. He came because Philip told him to come. And he said, ah, here comes an Israelite, in whom is no guile. And he said, whence knowest thou me, Lord? And he said, before you was called, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I've always known you. John Gill said that back in the day when the Lord was born, he said Nathanael was the same age as the Lord. Now, you remember when our Lord was born there in Bethlehem and the star was there and the angels came and reported his birth to those shepherds. And our Lord, Herod, wanted to kill the heir to the throne. And he sent out that decree from the time of the appearing of the star until the time that it was evident that those men weren't going to come back and report to him. That he sent out a decree that all the children, all the men, men children, 2 years old and under, would be killed. And you remember, the Lord appeared to his earthly parents and said, flee into Egypt. And they left, they took the Lord Jesus Christ, and they went into Egypt until Herod was displaced from the throne. But while they were in Egypt, this slaughter of these 2-year-old and younger male children took place. And John Gill said, the Jews say that Nathanael's parents hid him under a fig tree. And they didn't find him because he was in under that low slung, many leaves on it, and he was hid there. And the Lord said, while you was under the fig tree, I saw you. I've had my eye on you since you were born. The Scripture is full of these type of instances. Peter and Andrew, they were there on the... It's recorded there in Matthew chapter 4. Peter and Andrew was there on the... They were fishermen, you know, and they were there tending their boats and tending their nets. And the Lord went to where they were. He appeared to them right there. He walked out on the beach and he went down that beach. You all go to the beach, I know you all do, and you ever go to those places that are fishing villages, you know, that we go to a place over in Topsail Island, and up on the other end of the island, there's a place called Sneed's Ferry, and they go out every day and fish, and that place is just lined with these fishing boats that go out there and have the nets on them, and it's a busy place of activity, a lot of activity going on there. And that's the way this place was. This was a fishing village. This was a place where everybody was employed by going out and fishing. And our Lord went down that beach. He walked down that beach. Here's a boat, here's a boat, here's a boat. All the way down through there. Just rows and rows and rows. And he come to this place. Here's two men there tending their nets. Andrew and his brother Peter. And he walks up to them. He said, you follow me. You follow me. He came to where they were. You follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their boats and their net and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom. The Lord came to where he was. He said, follow me. Here's this desk set up there. Matthew was sitting there at the table, you know, and sitting there at a chair. He was gathering taxes from everybody. And the Lord came to him and said, follow me. And with that command come that ability to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Matthew got up. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Left that money, left that table, left everything. Followed the Lord Jesus Christ. That Samaritan woman, our Lord said, I must go through Samaria. And he went over there to Samaria, and he went there to Jacob's well at high noon when nobody came and drawed water. And he sent those disciples that was traveling with him. He said, you go on into town there and get us something to eat. And there our Lord sat there on that well. There he sat at high noon. I don't believe he was even looking towards that city. Down here was this city. It was a half a mile down this old, dirty, dusty road, you know. High noon. It was 105 degrees in the shade. And there was a woman down there, a notorious woman, an awful woman. Been married 5 times, and she was living with a fellow that she wasn't married to. Despicable woman, and nobody would even speak to her because her fame was notorious throughout that community. And the only way she could draw water was to go down there at high noon, you know, when nobody else would be there. So here she comes. She gets out of her place. She's got some clay pots to draw water with. Down the street, our Lord don't look back. Down the street, she starts up that road towards that well. Our Lord don't look back. And she walks up, and when she walks up to that well, he turns and he said, will you give me something to drink? And he goes to where she is, because this is a child of God. This is one that he came to die for. There he sits. Any possibility this is just a chance accident? Any possibility that this fellow was just in the right place at the right time? any possibility of that? No. Not according to the Word of God. This man, Zacchaeus, he's awful. He's an awful person. Can you identify with that? Can you identify with old Zacchaeus? Or do you identify with one of these people that said he went to be a guest in a house of a man that's a sinner? How come he didn't go home with me? I'm a good feller, you know. I don't do any of those things. No, that's who he came to seek and to save. He came to seek and to save the lost. And here's one of them up there in that tree. And our Lord comes to that place at that exact time. And he looked up. He looked up. Isn't that beautiful? And he saw him. He saw Zacchaeus. Way back in eternity past. Before God ever created the heavens and the earth. Before he ever created man on the earth. It was just God Almighty in his purity and holiness. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Heavenly Father set his affection on someone that was in eons down as we mark time, that would be born, and he would grow up, and he would be a wretched chief publican, hated by everybody, despicable person. And he set his love on that man. And he gave that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ said, I'll go down there. I'll go down there and do everything for that filthy beggar that needs to be done to satisfy your holiness, your purity, your justice, to magnify thy law. I'll go down there and do it on his behalf, that awful person. And in time he came. In time he came. And here he is, walking the dusty streets of this world that he created. And he comes to this place at this time, and he looks up, and he saw him. He saw Zacchaeus, and he said to him, he didn't say it to the whole community. He didn't say it to them 100 people that was gathered around him. He didn't call any of them by name, except that man. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And I'd ask you this morning, has he spoken to you? Has he crossed your path? Has he come to that place where you are at that exact time that he would cross your path? Has he spoken to you through the gospel, through this that lives forever and ever? Has he spoken to you and said, come down? Come down. This is a rich man. This is a man that's somebody. This is a man that can buy anything he wants. And our Lord said, come down. Come down. And we will. We will come down. We will come down. I used to watch. I maybe should be ashamed to even say this. I used to watch All in the Family. I thought there was nobody like Archie Bunker. I liked Archie Bunker. And old Archie got thrown in jail. And he was in there in that jail cell with a bunch of whoop-de-doo people that he shouldn't have been there with, in his opinion. And there was a fella in there listening to a religious radio station. And they was jumping and shouting, you know, like they do and everything, whoop-de-dooing. And Archie said, what in the world are you listening to? And he said, this is Brother So-and-so, you know, from the whatever church and all. And he couldn't even stand still. He was dancing to that music and everything. And old Archie said, you think you're worshiping God? And he said, yeah, I'm worshiping God. And old Archie, and I can't even imagine this being on that show. And old Archie said, God won't have none of that. God won't have none of that. You're going to worship him, you're going to get on your face in the dust. And that's how you're going to approach God. I thought, Archie said that? But that's it. You're going to come down. We're going to come down if we're going to come to Christ. We're going to come to him in the dust. In sackcloth and ashes. We're not going to come in all of our glitter and finery that we have. Not going to come to him in our wealth. Not going to come to him in our self-righteousness. We're going to come down. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. But I must abide at your house. I must abide at your house. He must. He must. He must. Like the Brother Eric said in his lesson. Those people that believed, they had to believe. They had to. it was determined before the foundation of the world they would believe. He'd give them faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd cross their path with the preaching of the gospel. They had to believe. They had to believe. Had to believe. He said to him, come down. Come down. You remember over there, let's turn over there in Ezekiel chapter 16. This is a favorite of mine. You all know this portion of God's Word. Ezekiel 16. Verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother was a Hittite. And as for thy birth, thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. And thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. You see this picture? Here's this child, this brand new baby. And it was born into this world. And it gasped that breath. But it wasn't none of those things. It wasn't washed. That all that fluid that was on that child, it wasn't cleaned. It wasn't washed. Wasn't wrapped in a blanket. It was just thrown out there into an open field. It was just thrown out there into the open field to the loathing of the person. Look at that over there. Look at that disgusting thing over there. None of I pitied it. Nobody had compassion on it. Couldn't do anything for that. Going to lay there and die. Going to lay there and die. And that's what we are. That's what we are. That's what every one of us are when we're born naturally into this world. And look at verse 6. And the Lord said, I passed by. I passed by. I passed by thee, and I saw thee. I saw thee polluted in thine own blood and couldn't do anything to help yourself. Because anything to help this child? Anything to help this infant? Can this infant do anything to help itself? What makes us think that we can do anything to satisfy God's holiness and purity, His magnificence? Anything we can do? God need anything from us, Eric said? Nothing. We can't do anything. Zacchaeus couldn't do anything. There he said, but God passed by. The Lord passed by, saw him, spoke to him. And he sees this infant. That's all of us, polluted in our blood. And he said, I said unto thee, the latter part of verse 6, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Is that the greatest word you've ever heard? The Lord himself. When he passed by and sees us in all of our awfulness and ugliness, and he says, live. I said unto thee, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. 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 That's what's going on here to Zacchaeus. There he is. There he is. One of God's sheep. One that the Lord Jesus Christ, in just a few days, would go to the cross and die for. Take away his filth and sin and shame and give him that perfect standing before God Almighty. Zacchaeus, you come down. And there are those here today that he's spoken to. Come down. Come down. Come down. I must abide at thy house. And verse 6, look at this. If he speaks, we'll come down. If he speaks, we'll come down. And old Zacchaeus, verse 6, he made haste. He made haste. Can't you just see him skinning down that tree? Can't you just see him? You ever see these, there's a show on TV, used to be, and they'd have these contests where these men would, these people that are professional loggers and timbermen and cut trees, and there's this one thing, they got no limbs on these trees, and they're 80 feet high, and these men got these belts around them. You've seen it. And they climb up them trees. They go all the way and ring a bell on top when they get there. And they time them from top to bottom. And then when they get up there and ring that bell, they almost free fall. It's just amazing if you've ever seen it. They come down that thing in 3 seconds. I mean, it's just boom, boom, boom. They jump 15 or 20 feet at a time, and them spikes catch, and then they, down they come, you know. I just picture old Zacchaeus. The Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down here. I'm going to your house. I don't know how fast he was, how nimble he was, but he come down. He come down. He was more impressed with coming down rapidly and being in the Lord's presence than anything that had ever taken place in his life. And if the Lord ever crosses our path, if he ever crosses our path and speaks to us, we'll come down. We'll come to him. We'll flee to him. We'll lay hold of the Savior like a dying man, like a drowning man. He came down. He came down. And look at this. He received him joyfully. Do we know something about that? Do we know something about that? Me and John talk occasionally, and John said he don't even watch the news anymore. He said it's just awful. And he said it's just it's depressing. And he said, I don't even watch it anymore. He said, I don't even turn it on. Well, I do. And he's right. There's not much that's promising in the news in our day. Not much that looks something that's impressive to us. But I do know one thing. I do know one thing. The Lord has crossed my path. And he called me by name. And he said, come down. Come down and bow at my feet. And he gave me the grace to do that. He gave me faith in who he is. He's God. Beside him, there's none else. And he came and did a work for all these people. And he's given us faith to flee after him, to lay hold of him. And in the midst of all this that's going on in this day and in this place and in this time, we're a joyful people. Aren't we happy here this morning? Huh? Aren't we a happy people? What have we got to be grieved over? Christ came, called us by name, through the preaching of the gospel, gave us faith to lay hold of him. We ought to be the happiest people. There should never be a time that you don't see all 42 teeth smile on believer's face. I mean, it ought to be. He received him joyfully. And look at this, verse 7. That crowd of surrounding our Lord, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, I can't even say this in the way that they would say this. Can you? He went to be guest in a house. He did. Of a man that's a sinner. Thank God. Thank God that he didn't come to call righteous people. He come to call sinners like me and you. Filthy, awful, undone. But one day, he crosses our path. And he reveals to us what we are. You see down here, look here down here in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto him, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. He knew what he was. He knew that all of his wealth had been gotten by ill gain. It had been wrongfully done. He said, look, I'll give it back because I know now what I am. I know now what I was doing. I'll give half of it to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore it to him fourfold. Can't you see? What do you think Zacchaeus was the next day? What do you think that Philippian jailer was the next day? Me and a fellow down at work used to talk every now and then. We'd say that. You know, Paul and Silas was there in that prison, and the Lord shook that place, and the doors flew open, you know. And that jailer, if a prisoner escaped, you're just going to die. And he run in there with his sword drawn and would have killed himself, you know. And Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And he preached Christ to that Philippian jailer. And that jailer took him home, and wounds that he had placed on his back with the whips, him and his wife, they cleaned them scars all up. And his whole family, Paul and Silas preached the gospel to that man. His whole family was saved. God saved that whole family of that Philippian jailer. What do you reckon that next set of midnights that fellow were? What kind of a fellow do you think he was? What kind of a fellow is this guy? He said, Lord, I know what I am. I know what I am. And I'll give half of it. I'll give half of it to the poor. If I've wronged anybody, I'm going to go hunt every one of them up because I know them. I got a ledger. I'm going to hunt every one of them up. I'm going to restore it fourfold. Something's happened to this man. Something happened to this man. He knows what he is. He's a sinner. We know what we are. He came to save sinners. That's our hope. That's our hope. Any sinners here this morning? Any sinners here this morning? Has he passed your way? Has he passed by where you are and what you were doing? Has he brought you to the place? What is the place in our day? In Zacchaeus' day, it was down that dusty road up that tree. And the Lord passed by. Where's he passing by today? Where's the place he's passing by today? I'll tell you where. You find a place. You find a place where somebody's standing and telling you who God is. And somebody that's not afraid to tell you, God don't do something for you. You're going to face God in all your filth. And he's going to send you to everlasting darkness and doom and ruin. And the only hope for you is that man, Jesus Christ. And he came to save a particular people. You may be one of them. You interested? You interested? Then you flee to him. You find out where he's being preached faithfully, regularly. Don't go anywhere where they're glorifying the flesh and bragging on the flesh. You go somewhere where they're bragging on Christ. And you stay there. And you bring your kids up there. And anytime them doors are open, you be there. Has he brought you to that place where the gospel's preached that glorifies and magnifies his name? Has he seen you? He's always seen us. Had his eye on us from all eternity. Has he called you? Have you come down? Have you, Henry used to say, have you bowed to the claims of King Jesus? Have you come down? Have you come down? We're a joyful people. Oh, what joy. Oh, what joy to know that he passed us by. Passed by where we were through the preaching of the gospel. And he spoke our name and with his love and tender mercy called us by his grace. And we've come down and laid hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for his amazing grace. All right. Brother Mike.